Hello there, all you creeps. If you're one of the many new listeners, or even if you're someone who's been around and has chosen not to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, do it now, or I will forever haunt you in your home. That basically just means I will provide you with the best cuddling that you've ever experienced, and I'll probably do your dishes, honestly. You can also help support us all by giving us a 5-star rating on Spotify and by following us on our social media at The Fright Crew on Insta and The Fright Crew Pod on TikTok. I also just want to tell you guys how much we adore and appreciate all of your continued support, and we thank you from the bottom of our decrepit little hearts. Now, roll the intro.
Welcome to The Fright Crew.
What's spooky, you creeps? I'm your guy who built every pipe in this city. Look at my knees, Jensen Harper.
Oh, I thought you were going to be the dad with the chicken. I was banking on that. Who am I? I'm just a crazy lady with paper mache cheeks and a radiator.
The radiator lady.
We love the radiator lady.
We love that for
also,
you.
Also, I'm sick. So that's why my voice sounds like this.
You're a little bit sick. You forgot your mic. So her quality's a little bit different. God. We'll be all right. The listener will be all right. Yeah.
Yeah. We take one week and my life is in shambles.
Right, dude. Of course. That's what happens, right? So we have forgotten to do this, I've realized, for the longest time. Courtney, who the fuck are we?
We're still the Fright Crew.
Yes. Sorry. We just forgot to do that for the past like month or so. I don't know. We're the Fright Crew. Hello. We are on our last week, dude, of David fucking Lunch Month. What the heck?
Yeah, David Lunch Month.
Like, how crazy. Obviously we took last week off, but we don't owe any explanation to you guys. Life hits when it hits, right? So, I mean, shit, dude, low key. If I would have had the choice, I would have taken this week off too. So fuck you. No, I'm kidding.
I would be jacked up on NyQuil right now.
Dude, for real. Just inject it into my veins.
Oh, yeah.
Gummy worm veins at that point.
Just
yes.
Napping like, for a week.
Yes, exactly. But whatever. We're here. Eraserhead. Fucking a crazy movie. And this was Eraserhead. I guess I'll gush really quick. Eraserhead for me was my first film of David Lynch that I had ever seen, ever. And this was like last year. I think it was one of my discoveries or something. I'm pretty sure.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, dude. And it was all thanks to you. And you joined the year prior saying that it was like part of your, you know, like 10 top favorites or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. I've always wanted to watch it. And little did I know how weird it got, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this
gets weird.
Yep. But in contrast to last episode, Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me, I think a lot of the uniqueness and like the craziness actually kind of makes a little more sense. And I have some theories and stuff. Yeah, that's just me. But I also didn't watch 58 episodes of a show or whatever the fuck.
it would have made more sense had you done that, but
yeah,
that would have been like 7 months of
right
additional research.
Exactly. I'll see you guys in fucking I'll see you next year pretty much at that point, dude. So but that's fine. So Eraserhead, yeah, super weird, super wonky, but since you kind of were the first one to ever talk about it on the podcast with it being part of your top 10, let's hear your gush on it. What is your experience with this film?
I watched it quite a while ago. I think sometime in early high school, I just got into the groove of like just finding very obscure, weird films.
Yeah.
And I think I was like searching on Reddit or something for like the weirdest films people have ever watched. And because I'm like, I just want to see the weirdest movies and like the most terrifying and whatever, mm-hmm. like shocking films,
oh, yeah.
As young people do.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember the website Best Gore?
Oh, dude, I just brought it up last night. How weird. Yeah.
Did you?
Yep.
That's a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I used to like check that every morning, like a fucking freak. Why?
Every
like,
morning?
Getting ready.
Yeah.
Yes. I know. What? I'm like getting ready for school. I'm like looking on Best Gore. I'm looking on freaking Is Anyone Up? I'm looking for like the weirdest fucking movies. But yes, this fell into my lap. And it opened up the door to David Lynch, whatever we want to call him.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it. I love a black and white film. I love a surrealist film. I love obscure. And of course, like when I was in high school, first time I saw this movie, the symbolism didn't, like, I didn't catch on. I was just like, what the fuck is this movie? But as I've gotten older and as I've watched it more, and I've just gotten better at kind of like picking apart movies, even though like the metaphors for stuff that we come up with is kind of just what we think in our brain. It's not always exactly what it means. Mm-hmm. For this one, yes, because he said it himself that there are a lot of symbols that mean certain things, which makes sense now watching it back. But I've enjoyed it more as I've gotten older and watched it more, and I'm able to kind of understand things a little bit better. And yeah, it's a cult classic. There's a reason why people love it. And I am one of those people.
Yeah, definitely, dude. I can't second that enough. I love a film chosen to be shot in black and white. Nothing's better than that. Right. So we fucking love it. And it really looks good. Like, I get into that in my notes and stuff. It looks so fucking good. Honestly,
it does. It reminds me a lot of Carnival of Souls.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. And like the weirdness and stuff. Yeah, of course. So sweet. Well, if you've gushed enough out of your pores, let's get right into
the Radiator Brain.
Bless I am you. Ready and I have there was a cough. It sounded like a sneeze.
Okay.
I have a lot, so I'm gonna try to get through it without joking.
Okay, I'm going to go take a nap. No.
just hear you snoring on the other end. I'm like, sorry, Jensen.
Right.
Okay, getting into it. So Eraserhead is a 1977 American surrealist body horror film written, directed, produced, and edited by David Lynch. He also created the score and sound design, which included pieces by a variety of other musicians. The film, as we said, is shot in black and white, and it was Lynch's first feature film effort following several short films. It stars Jack Nance, Charlotte Stewart, Jeanne Bates, Judith Anna Roberts, Laurel Neer, and Jack Fisk. Small cast, but
mm-hmm. Yeah,
they do a good job.
Yeah.
So Lynch presented Eraserhead when he had developed, which he had developed based on a daydream of a man's head being taken to a pencil factory by a small boy, which is a very interesting daydream to have. Like, where was he? What was he doing?
Right.
What drugs were involved? Because I mm-hmm. would like some.
For real.
Okay, so several board members at the AFI were still opposed to producing such a surrealist film, but they agreed when Frank Daniel threatened to resign if it were to be denied. So Lynch's script for Eraserhead was influenced by his reading as a film student, the 1915 novel The Metamorphosis by Nikolai Gogol, an 1836 short story The Nose were strong influences on the screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
He also confirmed in an interview with Metro Silicon Valley that the film came together when he opened up a Bible, read one verse from it, and shut it. In retrospect, Lynch could not remember if the verse was from the Old Testament or the New Testament. And in 2007, he said, believe it or not, Eraserhead is my most spiritual film.
All right.
So the script is also thought to have been inspired by his fear of fatherhood, which makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter, Jennifer, had been born with severely clubbed feet, requiring extensive corrective surgery as a child. Jennifer had said that her own unexpected conception and birth defects were a basis for the film's themes. And the film's tones was also shaped by Lynch's time living in a troubled neighborhood in Philadelphia.
Yep.
He and his family had spent 5 years living in an atmosphere of violence, hate, and filth. And the area was described as a crime-ridden poverty zone, which inspired the urban backdrop of Eraserhead, which they've done a great job of. I feel very kind of dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, just with the way that it's filmed. Like, it feels very, like, almost post, like, apocalyptic. Well, I cannot fucking talk today, Jim.
Apocalyptic. Oh, yeah. Apocalyptic.
Yes, that's
apocalyptic. Yeah.
Oh my god! I took some cold medicine before I hopped on, so I think
she's loopy, folks.
I think I'm fucked up right now. So initial casting for the film began in 1971, and Jack Nance was quickly selected for the lead role. Love him.
Yeah.
So Lynch worked with Alan Splett on design for designing the film sound. The pair arranged and fabricated soundproof blanketing to insulate their studio, where they spent almost a year creating and editing the film's sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtrack is densely layered, including as many as 15 different sounds simultaneously using multiple reels. Oh my god. I feel like I'm living in a fever dream.
Right.
So the soundtrack... Denson... Oh my god, what the fuck. Okay. So the soundtrack to Eraserhead was released by IRS Records in 1982. The two tracks included on the album feature excerpts of organ music by Fats Waller and the song In Heaven, written for the film by Peter Ivers. The soundtrack was re-released on August 7th of 2012 by Sacred Bones Records in a limited pressing of 1500 copies.
Oh, nice. That's cool. I could see something like that, like you owning that. That'd be sick.
I would love to.
Yeah.
I feel like getting your hands on something like that, but such a limited press would be really difficult and really
expensive. Yeah.
But I would love to. If anyone has it and you want to gift it to me.
Yeah, right.
Thank you. So Eraserhead premiered at the Filmex Film Festival in Los Angeles on March 19th of 1977. On its opening night, the film was attended by 25 people. 24 viewed it the following evening.
Hmm.
However, Ben Barinholtz, head distributor of Libra Films, persuaded local theater Cinema Village to run the film as a midnight feature, where it continued for a year.
Okay, yeah.
After this, it ran for 99 weeks at New York's Waverly Cinema, had a year-long midnight run at San Francisco's Roxy Theater from 1978 to 1979, and achieved a three-year tenure at Los Angeles' Newark Theater between 1978 and 1981. During a run of screenings in New York and Los Angeles, Eraserhead was paired with the 1979 animated short film Asparagus, created by Susan Pitt, for nearly 2 years. So Eraserhead was a commercial success, as we know, grossing $7 million in the United States and 14,590 in other territories. Eraserhead was also screened as part of the 1978 BFI London Film Festival and 1986 Telluride Film Festival. So for ratings, let me pull those up real quick. And I'm hoping Nick comes through for us with
Nick Regardis.
We love him. So we have a 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb, a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 3.9 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Oh yeah, dude, it's getting that 3.9, lower rating than last week's movie.
What was last week's, like 4.2?
Pretty sure it was a 4.1, which
okay.
I disagree, Larry. Just kidding. I'm just messing. That's crazy, though.
I feel like if you were like a diehard,
yep,
Twin Peaks fan, you'd be down to vote it higher.
Down to brown, yeah. Cool. All right. Well, guys,
Nick, he's got one.
Okay, cool.
So I have it pulled up for later.
Okay. All right, guys. So last week we left off with David Lynch working with Werner Herzog on My Son, What Have You Done? That was in 2009. So we're going to continue from there. So for the 2010s on for him, in 2010, David made a short film for the brand Dior called Lady Blue Shanghai. It is a 16-minute long short and it was put straight onto the old interwebs. Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I'm sure it's cool knowing his style. And like, if it's for, you know, Dior, that's pretty cool. So in March of 2011, David directed a concert by English new wave band Duran Duran, which was streamed live on YouTube from the Mayan Theater in L.A. That's pretty cool. David also made an animated short called I Touch a Red Button Man, which was a collaboration between him and the band Interpol, which played in the background during their set at Coachella that year in 2011. And according to Abel Ferreira, another bomb-ass director, he said that David no longer had an interest in making films and that he was meant to retire from the film industry. In June of 2012, during an interview with the LA Times, Lynch told them that he basically hadn't found anything that inspired him, but that if he found something that he loved, that he would, quote, go to work tomorrow. So, yeah, I feel like David Lynch is very, like, back and forth with it, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, at least he's doing what he loves, right? So,
yeah.
In November of 2012, David hinted at plans for a new project that he was working on. He also received a Lifetime Achievement Award and a Key to the City while in Poland, where he had announced this. Laura Dern then confirmed that she was with David working on something in January of 2013. A month later, in February, a short film that he had been working on called Edem Paris about the lithographic process was published online. Later that year in June, David directed a music video for the band Nine Inch Nails for their song Came Back Haunted. In October of 2014, David confirmed that he and Frost would start shooting a new 9-episode season of Twin Peaks starting in 2015. He had expected them to release in 2016 via Showtime. In 2015, David announced on Twitter that the things that he wanted to do with the show were too out of budget, so he was no longer directing any of the episodes. And he sort of like threatened that he wouldn't work on it unless they figured their shit out at Showtime. So later on, the CEO of Showtime, David Nevin, said that David Lynch would direct every episode of the show. And it went from 9 episodes all the way up to 18. Okay, David Lynch being the most man over there.
Prima donna. So
actually, yeah, dude, of course. They actually finished shooting in 2016, of which the 2-episode premiere aired on May 21st, 2017. So while David was out doing press for Twin Peaks, David essentially said that, yes, he was done making films. He said, quote, things changed a lot. So many films were not doing well at the box office, even though they might have been great films. And the things that were doing well at the box office weren't the things that I would want to do, end quote. But he went back on that later on, of course. There's also speculation that there could be a fourth season of Twin Peaks, I believe, as well. I read online, but I can't confirm that because I'm not a diehard fan. As you know. So in 2020, David went back on his website and began doing weather reports from his apartment in LA. He also aired a new series called What is David Lynch Working on Today? Which is basically where he would just like guess a number between 1 and 10, where there would be ping pong balls in a jar that he would pull. Just doing
that's
the most.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And then in June of 2020, David released the web series that he had made in 2002 called Rabbits onto YouTube as well. So he's got a lot of content on his YouTube channel, I think. I didn't check it out personally, but by the what I read and stuff, yes. Also, a cool thing was that on July 17, 2020, David dropped some face masks with his art on them for the COVID outbreak. So that's cool. In 2021, David announced that he had a new project in the pipes where he teamed up with Netflix. The working title of it was Wisteria and Unrecorded Night. Whatever this turned out to be or is, I guess, has an $85 million budget and began shooting. Holy and they shit. Began shooting it in May of 2021. Yes, holy shit, very much. So I don't know if it's still like in the works or what. I'd assume with that high of a budget and it would just start in 2021 that it could still be easily being worked on, but I'm not sure. There was also a rumor for a second that was popularized in April of 2022, where Variety reported that David was going to have a film premiere at the 2022 Cannes Film Festival, but he shut that down and said that it wasn't true at all. So yeah, these days, David Lynch runs his website where he posts short videos and web series. He also will post interviews and similar things like that. He also posts the weather reports on his YouTube channel. He also continuously works on music projects and painting and even has published some books as well. So he's just really doing the most. In 2022, David announced a $500 million Transcendental Meditation World Peace Initiative to fund transcendental meditation for 30,000 college students. He's really into that. David also is an avid coffee drinker, and he actually has his own line of special organic blends that you can purchase off of his website or even at Whole Foods, believe it or not. It's called David Lynch Signature Cup. The brand's tagline is, "It's all in the beans, and I'm just full of beans." So, guys, you have officially learned all about David Lynch. It took all month, but he had actually really, really big backstory and stuff. So there it is. If you missed any part of it, you know, I do recommend going back to those other two episodes and getting the middle chunk. And yeah, just, yeah, he's got a crazy story. So, all right, guys, now let us get into
the Eraser Brains. Or, sorry, Heart.
Fucking A. Why do we do this? Oh my okay. God. It's brains almost like heart, I run a podcast. You know, it's like, could I cut it and fix it? Maybe. Am I going to? Nah.
No. So, it's too much work.
Eraser Heart. There we go.
Eraser Heart.
Jesus Christ. All right. Well, Courtney, let's hear Nick Reganis. What's up?
All right. This is what Nick has to say about this film.
Okay.
Tortured a factory worker, Henry Spencer, enduring a miserable existence in an industrial and inhumane urban wasteland, is shocked to discover that his chronically depressed girlfriend, Mary, has given birth to something otherworldly. To further complicate matters, as the odd couple returns to Henry's squalid shoebox apartment, it becomes evident that the unnatural baby's persistent and unremitting crying is driving Mary crazy, threatening their already fragile happiness. Sometimes the dream of blissful fatherhood can become a nightmare. The poor old Henry, who's been dealing with dread, anxiety, and increasingly bizarre visions for too long, that's at the end of his tether. At least, could that eerie earworm of a song coming from the radiator help soothe the pain? Nick, what? Why?
Nick doing the most.
I just want to see him. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine who's just sitting behind their computer just typing. They're really good. And he uses great just like verbiage, but like how I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm just stupid.
Like, oh, I'm my not gosh. Good. I mean, the man stuff. Used the word squalid or whatever. So
I use squalor often in my vocabulary, I will say.
Probably at least four times a day.
Yeah, average. The industry, yeah. I work in, though, I'm like, are these people just living in absolute squalor? But I didn't know squalid.
Yeah, I don't think I ever heard that.
Yeah. So I'm going to start using that one.
Dude, next person to come in and complain about like their rent being too high, be like, you squalid bitch. You know,
yeah, just you squalid in your squalid shoebox apartment.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yes. All right. Well, thanks, Nick. Again,
thanks, Nick.
Welcome to the podcast. We love you. Smooches, like Courtney used to say.
Give him the smooches.
Yeah. All right. Well, I like to kick it off with a question. So, this one's kind of whatever. Courtney, I just want to hear it. What would your completely unhinged nightmare look like?
Oh.
You don't have to go too in depth. Like, we don't have to be like David Lunch and like create a whole fucking script. I'm just like, roughly, what would be going on?
My unhinged nightmare would be like being pulled like on stage in front of like a massive group of people,
mm-hmm.
and like having to sing like Cotton Eye Joe on karaoke. And
yes,
I'm trying to think what else. Like, that's just my like worst fear in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
is it in black and white?
Would be having to do something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. And no, it's filmed like the first Twilight movie.
Just, you know, blue and green. Like, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, just blue and green. And
right,
I'm wearing like cowgirl boots and I have like hay in my mouth. I'm trying to think what else could be just like, I mean, I feel like my life in general is just an unhinged nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say just like being pulled on stage in front of like just a massive group of people and having to do like karaoke or something would be absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, I fuck with that. Yeah, mine would be like a mixture of like real fears. So like me, like constantly living in like I have to carry around like a box of tall grass around my waist or something, you know?
Oh shit. Like
on suspenders.
You hated tall grass.
Yeah, dude. Ew, like dog poop. Ew. And then but also like simultaneously like living in the story of a Hallmark Christmas movie where I'm like Santa's daughter or something. Just like Santa's little princess. Yeah, that sounds fucking absolutely abhorrent. Yep.
Well, now mine.
You were a little more descriptive, like, so.
Yeah, but now I'm imagining a worse one, and that would be stuck in like a swamp, just filled with frogs.
Dude, I was gonna say the word frogs, but I didn't want to trigger that would you for be real.
The worst thing that would ever happen.
And what's dope is I could see that being a really cool black and white movie where, like,
yeah,
like Carnival of Souls type vibe, where you're like in a swamp and like you can't get out. Bruh, we trademark it, you know,
like mud, like you know, the mud that just like pulls you down, like quicksand, kind of,
yeah,
like right, on that Candyland game when you get stuck, and like the what is he, the molasses guy?
Oh, yeah,
it's like that, but frogs.
Oh, god, awful. Dude, I was gonna say, Courtney, follow up question that has nothing to do with this movie at all, but frogs, if you were an actress. And literally there was like a scene in a movie that they asked if you could like have frogs around you.
I couldn't.
Like literally. Okay. What's your price? Everybody has a price. Like I'm going to keep going up. So every frog that like touches you, it's $1,000. Do I get keep going up?
I couldn't. Yeah. Not for $1,000.
Okay. What about 10K per frog touching your leg or whatever?
Oh my fucking God. they would have to put me in a mental hospital afterwards, but I'd probably
the money.
10,000. Yeah. Yeah. I think 10,000 might be it.
Might satiate it. That's.
Yeah.
I feel that though.
That's
yeah.
Really rough. Okay. So would you lay in tall grass full of dog poop for $1,000?
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
An hour. $1,000 an hour.
Wait, how much?
$1,000 an hour, and there's also bugs, spiders.
Yeah, dude. You could have started at like $10 an hour, and I would have considered. Your boy needs the cash, you know.
Okay, all right.
Oh shit! All right, yeah, guys, don't. I'm telling you guys, do not DM directly message Courtney on Instagram at Little Sky Dancer and just send her pictures of frogs.
Please don't. Oh my god, you guys would never see me on here again because I'd be locked up.
Oh no.
Because I would have just had a full-blown panic attack.
Dude, if you get one, I'm shitting myself. I'm eating my shorts at that point. That's crazy.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know. For whatever reason, I feel like it's gonna come from Roger. We'll see.
Oh, Roger, no. All right, let's get to some notes, man. So the opening title card is weird and wild already. Just Henry floating around the moon or whatever, whatever, some shit like that. Is this meant to be like the moon to you, at least? Is that what you feel like it is?
I've taken it as that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think I have some later on theories, but we'll get there. So the movie opens with a house in like the planet, quote unquote, or wherever we are. Inside, there's a lumpy dude looking out of the window. Love to see it. This is like the weirdness that I love. I'm just like, okay, this is like lunch that I want. Give me lunch.
Absolutely unhinged.
Yes. Henry is seen floating again, and there's a wow. Was I fucking high as shit when I wrote my notes?
No, I think it's the movie.
Right. That's the issue right now. It says Henry is seen floating again, and there's a sleek-shoed something rather floating around as well. That is not a sentence, Jensen. I don't know what that's meant to say. Yeah, I think it's like the worm, right? There's like already like a worm. Yeah, like moving around or something. So
you type your notes down like in your phone.
I do. Yeah.
Okay. I always thought that you wrote them down on paper with a pen.
Dude, you've said that before. Why. A while back, you mentioned, you were like, I'd love to see your little notebook of notes. And I just kind of let you have that. I was like, all right, cool.
But when we did Evil Dead 2, it was Evil Dead 2. Or Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness, yeah.
When we did that one, you were talking about like a word that didn't make sense. And I was like, did the subtitles like put the wrong word? And he like wrote that down. And then like I went back and listened to the episode and I was like, okay, this makes so much more sense. Jensen writes his notes down in his phone and auto-corrected. Yeah, and I'm really sad about that. Honestly, because I imagine
like high key, that would be cool, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine you sitting down like with Chanel to watch your little movies and then you pull out your notebook with your pen. But alas.
That would be super sick, actually, to look back, man. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think because when I was on the first episode with you and Wit, when I was a guest, I did that and I had my notebook with my pen.
Okay.
And it's kind of hard to do it with that. It's hard to do it that way. So it makes a lot more sense that you do it on your phone.
Dude, easy. Actually, I prefer, first off, my laptop because I'm a really fast typer.
Yeah.
I can get up to like 120 words per minute. So like I can rip through it. But like then if I have to, like it'll be on my phone. But I'm pretty quick at like text typing. But dude, yeah. I couldn't imagine writing all my notes, bro.
Oh yeah. Your wrist would hurt.
Yeah, dude. I'm a lefty, really so bad. My whole ass like palm would just be black or whatever I'm using. So that would be crazy. But that would be cool to look back on. So
that would be.
So this is essentially Lynch's interpretation of sperm impregnating an egg. So that has to tie into my last note. Let me try to reread that last note. Henry is seen floating again, and there's I think it's something sperm. I don't know, whatever. I do remember the scene. Like there's like, you can tell there's like worms and like going into like something. So it's like, yeah, it's like his interpretation. And I think like, when Henry's kind of like making a face, maybe that's like the interpretation of him like ejaculating technically and like you know, sex, and it's like kind of like atmospheric, you know, like sex can be sometimes. Am I getting weird yet?
No, I don't think so. It's very artsy of you.
Yeah.
Very Tumblr.
Right, exactly, dude. Got my wrist up. So Henry's walking around town, very industrial and barren. I feel like he's a very lonely person is what we're trying to be set up. And, you know, there's a lot of context clues and stuff. He lives in this very small apartment by himself.
Keeps to himself.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts is the sets of, like, the apartments, which they, like, constantly, like, reused and stuff, which is so awesome. And also the movie has just incredible lighting. See, this was kind of like my disappointment with Twin Peaks. I tend to do this kind of thing where I like go back on older episodes and stuff. I shouldn't, but you know, I just feel like I was a little disappointed in last week. Like even the visual quality was like great at some points, but it wasn't like up to the Eraserhead standard, I feel like.
Yeah. Which is interesting too, because this movie is so much older.
Right. And I just feel like this one, he had so much more creativity in mind, and that's why production on it took like 3 or 4 years or whatever. Like he took so long on it. So I just think this movie looks fucking dope. So, so in his apartment, he has a picture of a woman and his radiator is hissing loudly. And there are also like bundles of hair or something. Trust me, there's a lot going on, that obviously I don't have explanation for. It's just visually it's like, oh, this is weird. I mean, like you said, Courtney, you looked up lists of strange movies to watch.
Yeah,
so that's pretty self-explanatory. Now Henry's going to his girlfriend's parents' house for dinner, which is also the girl in the picture. Henry meets Mary's mother and he says that he's a printer at LaPelle's factory. So he's just like a whatever factory worker dude.
it ties into the feel.
Yeah, yep, for sure. And her mom is super weird, and so is her dad. Which, by the way, I was her dad.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah, because like in the next scene, he like literally comes out of the kitchen or something, and he's like, yes. "Look at my knees."
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I just chose that scene because it was such a weird line. So, there's a scene where I was
imagining you were gonna quote. You're gonna quote something else that he said. Like when the man-made chicken.
Yeah, I was gonna say like when the chicken is like moving and stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's a scene where the mother makes the obviously like paralyzed grandmother toss the salad, and it makes me feel like how your memories of things can become disjointed and jumbled. Such
she
a
just
weird...
like lights up a cigarette for her.
Right. Right. She's vibing.
That was gonna be me. That was
okay.
gonna be me.
Okay.
Just tossing the salad. That.
Yeah.
Smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, I could see that. Top of the salad, dude. Yeah. Where are the croutons?
It's just a Tuesday.
Oh, shit. But yeah, it kind of makes me feel like, you know, when you look back at like old memories and sometimes like things can get kind of disjointed and jumbled. It's almost like in your memory of something like that. Like, oh, I remember like being in the kitchen and mom would always toss the salad while sitting in her chair or something, right? And then like in reality, like you're just like forcing them to do that, but that's like not actually what happens. Things like that. It just kind of gave me that vibe. So at dinner, the father makes Henry cut up the little chickens and they start oozing a dark liquid, possibly blood. We don't know. And moving around, and the mother runs off like moaning or something. And there's like the awkward conversation with the father and the mom running off. And in this weird way, I like understand it all. Like in this scene, dude, I have mad anxiety for Henry.
Because, I do too.
Right, yeah. Dude. Yeah. Like we've all been introduced to like our parents, like partners. I mean, their parents. Wow. Partners, parents. Wow.
Partners, parents. Yep.
And it's sometimes really awkward, right? And
I thankfully have not had an awkward encounter in that aspect, good. But I've had awkward encounters like meeting like friends' parents. Or even like coworkers' parents, or even coworkers,
right.
like significant others that have been very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just kind of sets me off, you know, because obviously leading up to it, we know like why her mom is like sad about things because she's pregnant, the girl. But it just all feels very like the dad's like checked out, like dude's straight up just like worried about chicken and humanity and his knees and shit. And Henry's just trying to get
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Knees, you know, and he's just trying to get the fuck out of there, honestly. So the mom does start questioning Henry if they've had sex, and he's all weirded out. Naturally, just met you, lady. Goddamn. She also starts like chewing on him. I don't really have any say about that. But yeah, she starts like chewing on his neck or chin or something. It gets weird. A little sexual, but I don't know if it was meant to be.
I think it was.
Okay. Interesting. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to buy into it, dude. I was going to like theorize some shit and I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it. So essentially they had a baby that's at the hospital all premature and shit. And the mother is making them get married. So lots of red flags just flying up in all directions. And they bring the baby home to Henry's apartment. And this thing is like, sadly, all fucked up, dude. It looks
kind of adorable, though.
You want one? Probably.
Do you not think so? Like, I do, actually.
Dude, you should get a prop of this thing.
I thought about it many times. But I just can't find one that's like reasonably priced online. I'm looking it up right now to see if
I can't find one reasonably. Oh, my God, dude. I love that.
Ooh, there's a plush. That's
cool. Figure. You definitely need a plush. Yeah, that's cool.
Oh my God. There's a tiny little keychain.
Oh shit. People are literally gonna be like, yo, I think there's a piece of dog shit on your keychain. Oh, what is that?
Someone it's sold out, but I'm gonna keep an eye to see when that comes back. Because it's the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Only Courtney, and
I
love
that.
You for it.
Oh, I love that. Okay, catch me with that. As soon as it's available, I'll let you know. Oh, I'll post a picture on our Instagram story.
Oh yeah, there you go. But yeah, this thing's looking like a baby bird or something wanting to jump out of the nest. It's real grody, but also cute to some people. So
it's like a dinosaur bird hybrid kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
It is kind of like a bird without its feathers.
Right. And there was a piece of trivia that I had that I skipped over that I think it said that there was speculation that he used a calf, like a dead calf, like a baby cow.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah. And then just like used animatronics or something, I guess. Yeah. Even though it looks pretty real sometimes. It's not, but like he did a good job. They did a good job, I should say. So
it's all like greased up.
Mm-hmm.
Slimy looking.
Yep. So yeah, obviously the baby is home with them, but Henry is like staring into the radiator because he's bored and trying not to focus on the baby crying because it's literally crying the rest of the film now. And let's just say something's going on in the radiator. A party, perhaps. Here comes Courtney. Or almost, actually. Almost. The two of them, so Henry and the girl. Well, does she have a name? She has to have a name, but I didn't write it down. Is it Mary?
The girlfriend, wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mary.
There you go. Henry and Mary are trying to sleep, but everything's going on. You know, the radiator whistling and there's a party in there and the baby's crying and people going in and out of the apartments. Like the wind is howling, all this shit. So Mary freaks out and tells the baby to shut up and starts crying herself. Mary then decides to grab her shit and leave to go home to her parents just to get some sleep. She tells them to take care of things while she's gone. So that's absolutely unhinged, right?
And like her grabbing the suitcase that's like so shoved under the bed.
Yeah, dude. Just she's gone. That's quick, dude. Yeah. She moved quick.
That's all she wrote.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, hey, you better take care of things when I'm gone. And I'm like, yeah, okay, dude. Well.
It's like a hella threat, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also put, for real, within 38 fucking minutes of her being gone, the baby gets sick and starts looking like a damn cactus and has a fever. Like, this poor thing. Dude. And
he's like, oh, you're sick. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
He has, like, chicken pox.
Yeah, dude. Henry just goes, oh, you're sick, aren't you?
Like, you're just gasping for air, dying, and you have bumps all over you, but...
Straight up dying, yes. And, like, I'm also just realizing how wild it is that the baby's just, like, up on a dresser hanging out with a pillow. Like, it's not in a crib. Yeah, like, it's nothing.
He's just like, here's this humidifier, and I'm going to try to sneak out the door.
Yes, dude, yes. So, yeah, poor Henry's just chilling in his suit, sitting by the baby while he's got this humidifier running, like she said. I think that he sort of looks like into the radiator and falls asleep and dreams of like, quote, the lady in the radiator or Courtney. And she's like dancing sort of to some organ music while stomping on more little sperm worms. We'll call them sperm worms. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
That's what I like to do.
Oh yeah. Stomping on them sperm worms. So now cut to Mary being back home with Henry. They're sleeping and there are some sperm worms in the bed. So Henry throws them at the wall. I don't know, like more dream stuff where a sperm worm is on the moon. Yeah, there's a couple little interludes of like the moon stuff that I don't know what any of that means, but maybe they had sex again. I don't know. Or maybe, here we go, it's Henry being next to Mary in bed and literally like maybe wanting to have sex with her. And dreaming of like the moon and that euphoric feeling.
But then,
He like throws the sperm at the wall, insinuating like, no, he like just beat one out or something instead because he doesn't want to have another baby with her. You know, dude, you got to do, hey, we all got to beat one out.
I'm not judging. Oh, yeah. I just never heard that term used.
Really?
That's the first time I've ever heard that term used for some reason.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, you city folk don't hear what us suburbanites talk like.
Suburbanite.
Oh, man, I live in the boonies, you know? Oh, damn, I only have like 4 more notes. Okay. So I believe it's a dream again, but Henry is confronted by the, quote, sexy woman from across the hall where she's like, where's your wife? And stuff like that. She's like asking to sleep over and shit. So they essentially have sex in like a pool in the bed, and they go into the liquid, and mm-hmm. Henry is thinking about the radiator woman again. And of course we got the quote or the singing in heaven, everything is fine. I don't remember how she sings it, so I'm not going to sing this week. Sorry, guys.
Damn it.
I know David Lynch really loves.
Just try a little.
Do you remember how it goes? And I'll try to sing it.
Kind of, but I have a terrible voice, so I can't attempt it.
But I'm going to embarrass myself by being completely wrong on like the cadence of everything. So it's just like, in heaven, everything is fine. I don't know, dude.
So you just did that, but in the tune of Taking Back Sunday. That sounded a little emo.
Yeah, I liked it, though. Like I said, Suburbanites.
All right, I'm down. Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, dude. So obviously this entire film sort of feels like a nightmare for Henry. Like he's not sure what's going on in his life and that he's like trying to disassociate almost. There's a lot of like him just staring off into spaces, and obviously like one of my favorite shots is a little bit later after this where he's just like standing under like a light, and there's like all those like it's like dust, but I think it's like pencil shavings or eraser mm-hmm. shavings just like flying around him. It looks so good, dude. Looks so good.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool shots like that, because even the shot with them on the bed and it's a pool, like the mm-hmm. water's all milky.
Yeah, some stuff's going on.
I love that. Yeah, because it's like misty and...
Yeah. Dude, and what's crazy about it is I thought about the practicality of that and how the fuck they shot that. Like...
I feel like it's probably like a hollow bottom. They maybe had like a tarp
mm-hmm.
filled with water and they like mm-hmm. sat in it maybe.
Maybe. Or like maybe like something lowered. I don't know.
Yeah. But
it was crazy because they're like in bed and the next thing you know, they're just like slowly being lowered into this like pool mm-hmm. in the middle of a bed and it's all liquidy. And then they keep going down and like they go under. It was crazy.
And then they disappear.
Yeah, dude. That shit was wild, man. So while Henry is like in like where the radiator woman is singing, Henry's head falls off and slowly the baby's head starts to emerge from his suit. Henry's head falls back. Yeah, dude, it looks wild. Henry's head falls back to the real world and some kid jacks it off the street. Like he literally just takes it. And this is where I'm just like, what's going on? But yeah, this kid brings Henry's head to a factory where they make pencils. They take a sample of his like brain or something and put it into a machine that makes like good pencils. But then Henry wakes up. Do I know any of that? What that means? No, don't ask.
Again, with the weird daydream that he had, I'm like, what, what kind of daydream? Cause I don't daydream about like weird things like that. I don't know. Maybe.
Right.
I usually just daydream about like being on vacation instead of being at work or something along those lines.
Having a brain sample taken and turned into a pencil. Yeah.
Yes. Like laying in the grass on a sunny day.
Yeah.
And he's like, severed head in a pencil factory. I'm like, okay. We love him for it.
For real. I'm just like, what is going on here? But that's okay. Yeah. So he wakes up. So yeah, Henry cuts the baby's wraps open, revealing its guts are just out. Like there's no skin around it. And like the wraps were like kind of it's keeping everything in.
Yeah.
Henry decides to stab it with the scissors, which causes it to die and ooze applesauce or something.
It was cottage cheese.
Oh, was it really?
I don't know. That's what it looked like to me.
Okay. Okay. Then there's a giant version of the head, the baby head. Henry sees a hole forming in the moon planet and he is reunited with the lady from the radiator. And that is the end of the film. That's the end of my notes, at least.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. There's not a ton of storyline.
No.
A lot of it is just like a certain scene just dragged on for a very, very, very long time. Like he's opening a cupboard. He's trying to walk out. Baby's crying. He soothes the baby, tries mm-hmm. to walk out again, the baby cries, he goes back and forth, and that's like 20 minutes.
Yep.
And it's a runtime of like an hour and a half, which is great.
Yeah.
And
yes,
it is just very interesting to watch.
It really is, dude.
You're like, I mean, what the fuck's going to happen next?
Right. And I think that's where it just gets so weird. And if you're open to weird stuff and you're able to be one of the people who like can just accept it and just be mm-hmm. like, yo, that was weird, and not have to like question every little thing.
Yeah. Very obscure.
Yeah, for sure. And then like potentially not all of it's going to click, but obviously some of it is, right? So
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's an odd one, but it really is a special film. Like it really is, dude. It's cool. Yeah, it's super cool. And I'm super stoked that we got to like end our David Lunch month with Eraserhead. That's a crazy fucking thing. So, and I love when we do weird shit here on the podcast, dude. It's amazing.
I love it too.
It's my like favorite. When you
opened my heart to Carnival of Souls.
Yes,
which
dude,
I'm forever
right?
thankful for.
Yes.
Because these films are very similar to me in the way that they're just those like experimental.
Right. Right.
Films when there's not a whole lot of, I don't want to say a whole lot of substance because there is a lot of substance to it, but there's not a whole lot of like a big story.
Right. Like you can, I think you and I are like kind of in that same headspace when it comes to film where we can like sit down, watch a film with a technically simple concept. I mean, this one mm-hmm. is the fear of having a child. And everything yeah. involved with that. Carnival of Souls, you know, you brought up a few times. So like that one is like the fear of death. Like she literally can't process yeah. her death. And so like when these films have like these kind of like simple premises that just kind of go bonkers, we're like open to it, you know, like even like, yeah. like Teton, like it's so out there and weird, but yet it's just a story about like love and acceptance. Like it sounds so stupid, but that's what it is, you know? And I love nothing more than that. Like, I don't like to be spoon-fed when I watch films. I same. Like to like
where everything just makes sense and like flows perfectly. Right.
Yes. That's like really a pet peeve of mine. And
mm-hmm.
it sucks when these days, like that's just like, I get that. Like a lot of people do have to be kind of told what's going on.
Yeah. Like, 'cause people get frustrated when a movie ends and they have no idea what the ending means.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. Then they like leave a bad review and be like, this movie made no sense, or this ending was so stupid, or this right. and this and this. but I like to be able to be like, oh shit, like what did that mean?
Yeah.
Like now I need to go and like research it for 3 hours when I get home.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, or, like I'm more in the boat of like whenever I leave a theater and I don't exactly understand what happened. Like I either like to like talk to Chanel about it and like see what she thinks, or just kind of sit in my thoughts, dude, and let mm-hmm. it ruminate, because that's like important, dude. And
yeah,
talking about film in the art space is so different than any other art, because I'd say movies are more accessible, right? And they bring in a lot more money because a lot of people, you know, like during the summer, they'll go to see a movie because it's a cool place to be in. Like literally it's cool. Yeah. You can have some popcorn and some fucking nachos and just watch some yeah. mind numbing bullshit. Like the next Marvel's movie, not trying to throw shade. We're just not the biggest fans Ooh. Of that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, but when it comes to things like this, right? Like it's like this art piece that David Lynch, like literally spilled his guts on the paper to make this happen. And obviously it's similar to like, he's also a painter, ironically. And like, if you look at painting, right, it's not every day. If you ask your average, like, let's just take an American, you know, US citizen, they're, and I said, hey, this weekend, would you rather go to the movies or go to an art museum? I'd say 75% of those people, maybe more, are going to go to see a movie.
Yeah.
Because it's just more accessible, probably cheaper a little bit, and they might understand it better. But kind of like what you said, Courtney, is a lot of people will go into a movie, if they don't understand it right away, they just like will give it like a low rating. But if I go to like an art museum and look at like paintings, you know, like kind of like abstract or something that like yeah. I don't understand right away, that doesn't mean I'm just automatically gonna be like, yo, that's fucking stupid, right?
Yeah,
exactly. It's like so disrespectful. So
100%.
Yeah, dude. I mean, rant over, but I just feel like
no. But you described that perfectly, like especially with those I can't think of the word I'm looking
Courtney's
for.
Done. Courtney's done.
Oh my god, those Jesus. Yeah, that's a great way to compare.
Period. All right, guys. Let's get into
the cause of Pencilhead.
The cause of cottage cheese.
Ew, yeah.
Do you like cottage cheese?
I fucking love cottage cheese, bro.
So do I. I was waiting for you to say gross. I love it.
No, man, I fucking love that shit. You love pickles? I love pickles. Do you like olives?
I love pickles. I fucking love olives.
Yes,
I'm down for olives.
We're weirdos. Dude, same. Green, black. Whole Foods is my bitch. I hold that shit down when I go to that olive
with their olive bar.
Bro. Oh,
I love, oddly enough, the olives, the green olives that have the pits in them.
Okay, yeah.
I love fuck those.
With
them.
Yeah, dude. I fuck hard with any of those weird things. Like, are you like a weird cheese person? Like, do you like
weird cheeses? Love weird cheeses too.
Yeah.
Look at us. Look at us. Look at
us twinning over here, dude. That's
we
wild.
We should have a cheese olive pickle cottage cheese party.
Yo, hella down. Just like loose cottage cheese on a board. On a charcuterie board, just loose cottage cheese. It's just the base of it, dude.
Cutting board with
cottage cheese all over.
Pour a whole thing of cottage cheese.
No, all over everything, right? All over the pickle.
We just smear it on your table with our hands.
Yeah, dude. I could see it happening, dude. That's David Lunch's, like, definitely. Like, that's his charcuterie board, too.
Yes.
Oh my god. Well, Courtney, I feel like when it comes to ratings, dude, for this one, we gotta start with you. We gotta start with the queen, the one who like holds this so, you know, dear to their heart. Dear. So let's hear it.
I'm gonna give it a solid 2. No, I'm just kidding. After I like gushed about it, I'm gonna go for a 4.7.
Oh, I love that for you, dude.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
That's the highest I think I've rated in a while.
Dude, it's been a minute that you've been.
I know.
It's been a minute for both of us, low key, because I think, what did you give Twin Peaks? Like a 4?
I think 3.9, I think.
I think you gave it like a 3 point something, yeah.
Yeah, 3.5 maybe even.
Yeah.
But I think the last time we did a 5 out of 5, I think it was 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, yeah. I just caved. I was like, all right, we're all doing it. I'll do it too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we kind of had to.
Yep. Ironically, Chanel just watched that this week to calm down from her panic attack. So shout out to that movie.
The comfort movies, those,
yes,
those will help tremendously. I have a lot of comfort movies that I turn to when I'm not feeling the best. I'm like kind of going through it, and it really does help. And that's one of mine too. So is The Wedding Singer. Wedding Singer, I think, number one.
Okay.
And that movie helps me a lot.
All right. I'll stop shitting on it then.
It's okay if you do. I just like cry every time you say anything bad.
Right. But. I'm like just offending everyone and their mom. Yeah, pretty much.
But sweet. Also, like with those kind of movies, they are an acquired taste and love. I think a lot of people do love them, but I would understand why some people wouldn't.
Yeah, I definitely have my weird shit. Like my comfort movies are very obscure and stuff. Like I maybe have mentioned this before on here. So I'm sorry if I'm a broken record, but Land of the Lost, like the Will Ferrell movie.
Okay, I don't think you have.
That is a heavy ass comfort movie for me. I don't know why. I know it's terribly rated. A lot of people hate it. 5 out of 5 movie for me.
I love that for you though.
Yeah.
And I love that it's a comfort movie that like helps it you is, feel dude. Better.
Yes. That and Paul. Have you ever seen Paul, dude?
That sounds, is that the monkey?
No, that's the alien, like with like voiced by Seth Rogen. Fucking another huge comfort movie. I love the shit out of that movie. Huge. Like both of those are like tied. They're both like perfect films. What'd you say?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that, but
you never seen Paul?
I don't think so. It's a sci-fi kind of movie.
Yeah, it's like it's a comedy. But no. It's a first and foremost.
Jason Bateman?
Yes. You need to watch Paul yesterday, dude. What?
Okay, I'll watch it. I promise.
Please. It's on the Vudu if you still have my login. It's
I do.
Okay, good. Good. Anyone looking for my Vudu login, just DM me on Insta. just handing out all my passwords.
You just get hacked, your identity stolen just because someone wanted to watch Paul.
Right, dude. Well, we got sidetracked. All right, let me do my rating before we get sidetracked again. I'm going to go for a solid 4 out of 5 with a massive heart. It just feels a little too like out there to go any higher than that. And there's not that like comfort level of love that you have for it because, you know, it's like something that got you into like the weird, obscure shit that we love.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 4 out of 5, still solid as shit for me.
That is a solid one.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's just such a weird and fun film to like throw on. And ultimately, I feel like this is one of those movies that, especially because like it is widely and popularly known, yet not a lot of people have seen it. And if you put it on your TV at like a Halloween party is what I was going to say, not a lot of people are going to like really know what it is. And yeah, dude, literally you could just throw on Eraserhead and Carnival of Souls back to back, just do that double feature back to back, just play them in loop and boom, there you go. You got your like double feature of like a Halloween party. And people,
if you have a Halloween party this coming October, I really hope.
Yeah, dude, we skipped last year. Yeah,
I know. I was just thinking about that because I was like, was it last Halloween that you guys had the party? But no, it was the year before.
Yeah,
that's crazy. It feels like forever ago.
I know, dude. Yeah, I definitely am down.
Less than half a year away.
We're already ready. Crazy. We're fucking pumped. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for it always, dude. I mean, come on. It's always Halloween for us. I'm just ready for like the stores to be decorated for it.
Me too.
Have their decorations to buy out. Yeah. Did you see Spirit Halloween? They came out with that Killer Clowns cocoon thing.
I did. I think I did see that.
It's pretty wild, dude. It's like a pretty decent sized prop. That's just like a corpse in a cotton candy cocoon that you can like hang from things. And I was like,
let me see.
Do I need this in my life?
Okay, that's freaking cool.
It's pretty dope.
I don't know
if it would like fit in with anything I have though. So I don't know, but
it's a little, I guess not terribly pricey for like a pretty big prop.
What are we talking?
It's like 120.
Yeah, I don't think it does anything, so it's just like a static prop, but that's okay. I mean, $120. I really, dude, last year I wanted the Reagan one so fucking bad to just
I know I did house, too
right.
I want I a Sam, like a life-size house. Sam from Trick or Treat too. I really want that.
Yeah, that one's super cool too. Yeah, they even have like the like Shorty from Killer Clowns in the other one too, one of the other clowns that are like prop size. Those are cool too. They have some pretty cool stuff. I'm sick to see what they have this year.
The Spirit Halloween one is $150.
Oh.
They have one on Amazon that's like the same thing for $120.
Oh, Amazon really coming cool, through, though. Dude. Okay. Save me $30.
Yeah, that's really freaking cool.
Yeah. All right, guys. That was our discussion on Eraserhead from 1977, directed by David Lynch. Sir David Lynch, of course. Guys, that was our last episode into our little David Lynch month. It was fun. It was weird and gross at points, you know, like Blue Velvet got kind of gross and Twin Peaks obviously got pretty gross. Yeah, there were some pretty gross things going on, but yeah, it was fun to do like a deep dive into it. And I am actually looking forward to doing like more like Lynch stuff, like watching more Lynch just to see what else is going on in this guy's head. So, and maybe, you know, guys, maybe in the future we can do that Twin Peaks like series walkthrough or something, you know, we'll go through all
that. We talked about it.
Sounds like a lot.
Make more sense to you. Right. Yeah, it would be a lot.
Yeah. So we'll see. Don't count on it, but you know, all right, guys. So we do have, I mean, I think we've mentioned it, right? That we're taking the month of June off to our listeners. Mm-hmm. I think we've mentioned it. So yeah, we're taking the month of June off. We do have 2 more episodes for you guys before we do. Obviously, it's still May. So next week we're going to do, I'm sorry on my pronunciation, but I think it's Husera. Husera? Sure. Something like that.
Husera. Yeah.
Husera. The something bone woman. Is that what it's called? Yeah.
Yes.
all over the fucking place, dude. Killing it, dude. Fucking killing it. So yeah, that was something, Courtney, you got to see at Telluride last year.
I'm very excited to see it again because it feels like forever ago. So
dude,
it'll be cool to watch it again.
I'm gonna laugh really hard if you watch it again and you're like, yo, it kind of sucks. I'm kidding.
I'm like, you know what? Now that I'm not like kind of tipsy in a movie theater at Telluride, I'm not sure how I feel about this now.
I don't like this. Yeah. But yeah, guys, for anyone listening, as of today recording, it'll be available on Shudder this weekend. But when you guys are listening, it'll be of last weekend. Does that make sense? It'll already be out by the time you've listened to this on Shudder. There you go. That's how you say that.
There you go.
Go ahead and watch that. It is a newer film. Super pumped, dude. You have been hyping this up for a while, saying how much you think I will love it. And I will go into that because I trust your opinion. You know what I mean? Okay. We're good.
I'm nervous.
We're good. And I've heard really great things otherwise. And it's got body horror. It's got pregnant women. It's got Latina demons. I'm down. Let's do this. So we should be good. All right, guys. If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can catch me on, Instagram and Letterboxd at Jensen Harper. If you want to follow Courtney on Instagram only, you can find her at Little Sky Dancer. If you want to follow the pod on Instagram, it's just the Fright Crew. And Courtney, what should the listener do for us?
You should give us a rating and review, and we will give them a cottage cheese charcuterie board.
Fuck yes, dude.
And a little smooch. We're back at it.
I love that, dude. I love that. Yes. We need to talk about merch again, Courtney, because there's so many opportunities. Like, yep, we'll talk more about it because there's some cool shit that I have ideas for. So if I were to say anything, I mean, obviously, stay sperm wormy, you know?
Stay sperm wormy.
Stay sperm wormy, and we love you. Bye.
Bye.